Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners. Well, not come to order. Anyone has any cell phones or any other audible devices, if you would to silence them now, is not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We appreciate it. Today we have a special guest in attendance, one of our most famous local dignitaries who sets up shop part-time in Washington, D.C. We have Honorable Mark Amaday in here today. He represents the 2nd Congressional District in the state of Nevada. He's got a long history with Carson City and Virginia City. His mom grew up in Gold Hill. He's been instrumental in getting legislation passed through Congress, Restore Story County Lands Bill, and still working to put some finishing touches on the updated on that. He's here today to go ahead and give a little talk, and he's got some information he wants to pass along to us. So I'd like to ask the congressman if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please join me in the pledge of our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First up is item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for October the 16th, 2018. Mr. Whitten, do you have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff has requested item number 7, staff reports, and item number 8, board reports, be moved close to the bottom of the agenda, just after business licenses and before correspondence and public comment. In the interest of time, Commissioner Gilman has some time constraints today, so we want to try to get as much business conducted as we can before he needs to leave. Okay?
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda items?
And we should also note Commissioner McGuffey is participating by phone right now.
Very good. Good morning. Good morning, Commissioner McGuffey. All right.
Good morning.
And with the, as we're going to move things around, the only one item, I think, out of a committee and staff reports that I want to leave first up, coming up next, is Congressman Amaday. So if I can get a motion to approve today's agenda.
I'll move to approve today's agenda, with the exception of moving items 7 and 8 to the last portion of the meeting.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll second.
All right. Jack, you second. I have a motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Very good. Thank you. All right. Congressman Amaday, you have the podium, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For your record, Mark Amaday, representing Nevada's original congressional district. I don't care what the Clark County people did with the numbers. We were here before they were. I'm accompanied here today by my district director, Stacy Parabek. The first thing I want to talk to you about that's the most Story County specific is the zip code issue. Do you have the text that says what the number is going to be?
I got it.
Mark. Oh, you got it? Good. Somebody does. I was just looking for something. I don't know that. But anyhow, I am told that long before... There we go. Thank you, Pat. Anyhow, a long time ago, Story County started talking about sales tax revenues down in the River District and TRI and things like that. And we're told essentially by the state tax folks that we do it by zip code, and that's the way we've always done it, and that's the way we're going to do it. So, being the enterprising folks that people in Story County are, it's like, well, let's go get a zip code. Sounds like an easy thing. Sounded like an easy thing to me, too. I've been in this job for 7 years last month. And so one of the first things we said, okay, we're going to talk to the post office, we're going to do this. Oh, you got to pass legislation. Or you can ask them for one without that. But if they say no, then you have to go to prison for 10 years for asking and getting told no. Not really, but kind of like that. And so anyhow, we passed several laws out of the House through the government reform and oversight committee, which has jurisdiction over the post office. Jason Chaffetz was the chairman, passed it, several zip codes in it. This was one of them, goes over to the Senate, and no disrespect to the Senate, but it went to the Senate. We'll just leave it at that. And so, The subcommittee chairman of the committee of that of the big committee is a guy by the name of Mark Meadows, who you may have heard of. He's from North Carolina, and I'm talking to him one day about, hey, now that Gowdy's the new chairman and you're the subcommittee, I need you to move that stuff through and pass it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he says to me, oh, you need a zip code? And I said, I gathered my wits, and I said, yeah. And he goes, I can get you a zip code. And I'm like, well, then please do. No going to the Senate, whatever, the post office will do it administratively, blah, blah, blah. So I go back to my office and I tell Stephanie Walker, who was on the staff at the time, who ended up being the legislative director before she left to go work with a lobbying firm. I go, hey, call Meadows office and follow up. He says he can just get it done. He knows Joe Smith or whatever who handles that stuff. And I'm like, I don't believe it, but let's. So anyhow, we've been working on that for the last 6 months or whatever the heck. And Chairman Meadows says, no, it's good. And we're talking with his chief of staff, and we're following it up. We had a phone call like a month ago with the head guy at the post office to say, what's your timetable for this? Because after doing this for as many years, like, I don't believe anything. I mean, just, he says, here's what we got to do. We got to send a letter out, but blah, blah, blah. And so my staff says, well, do you want to make an announcement? And I said, heck no, I don't want to make an announcement. I says, I'll believe this when it actually is. And apparently, your record will reflect, I said, apparently, the effort has borne fruit, and there is going to be a zip code for TRI. And the number is 89437. So if you hate odd numbers, you got me, but it's 89437. As I understand it, there's kind of a break-in period over a year. They'll still honor both zip codes for a while. There's letters going out to businesses in the new zip code affected for feedback. So if somebody thinks it's a terrible idea, you'll be able to say that. But so all I'm going to say now is since there, I heard there's an election coming up in a few weeks, and they're going to be electing a new boss over the tax department, regardless of who that is. Not that this board needs any suggestions from me, but something to think about is to talk to both of those people and say, whichever one of you folks wins, this is not a time to change it away from zip code. We've gone around a zip code, and we want the sales tax that's apportioned to TRI to come to the county that it's in instead of the county that it isn't in. So congratulations, Story County, the owner of the newest zip code in the country, and by the way, thank you very much for your patience. That's the first item. Second item I want to talk about is that there's been a lot of discussion about Interstate 11, which is a long-term thing that we passed in a bill about 4 years ago that said I-5's over here, I-15's over here. In between is that state called Nevada and 600 miles. We think there ought to be a major north-south interstate arterial from Arizona up to the Pacific Northwest, as in Seattle, that area sort of thing, just because we don't have that in there. So there were preliminary routing done. There's construction already from the Valley of Sun to Las Vegas. But it's a long-term thing. I don't want anybody to leave the room and say, hey, guess what? They're out there staking a right-of-way for I-11. But why am I telling you this in Story County, which is a western Nevada county? I'm telling you because there's a lot of moving parts, many of which will affect Story County, not the least of which is Interstate 80 East between Fernley and the Truckee Meadows. And so, obviously, when everybody hears, hey, an interstate, it's like, gee, that's a great thing. I'd like to have that come through my town. NDOT has done some preliminary stuff where they've said, hey, we're not going up the Utah line because, quite frankly, it's too close to I-15. No offense to the people in Ely and Caliente and Wells, but it's like, you're not that far from I-15, and that's not the purpose. Obviously, the people in Washoe County are thinking, hey, that'd be great. We'd love to have a crossroads with 80 and 15. The problem is there, too, that you're like, well, you know, you're just 2 hours over the hill from I-5, which doesn't really accomplish the 600 miles with nothing north-south. And also, when you sit there and talk about that route, it's like, well, first of all, when you get north of Reno, where are you going to go? And by the way, how easy do you think it'll be to get a right-of-way put through the Modoc National Forest when you get north of Susanville? And by the way, where does that put you when you come out in Oregon? And I'm not saying I have the answers to those, but those are pretty tough questions. And then not the least of which is, well, in order to get to Reno, at some point in time, you're going to have to put some people on Interstate 80, which means, not problem in my mind, opportunity to be able to say, we don't necessarily need it to go to Reno, but obviously it's going to come out on I-80 somewhere in the neighborhood of Fernley to Trinity. And so we probably ought to use that opportunity to talk about what we do in terms of more USA Parkway-type regional infrastructure, and also what do we do to fix Interstate 80. And so what we have indicated is, quite frankly, if you wanted to go to Reno and you wanted to go through Yerington, that requires you to go across the Shears Indian Reservation, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, except that that land is not free. They're entitled to be compensated for that. And so when you go in front of the state transportation board and say, hey, we want a route that requires us to buy 40 miles of right-of-way where everything else surrounding it is essentially free federal land, that's going to be a tough sell. Also, if you try to go around the west side of existing 95, you've got a little bit of topography. You've got a lot of cultural resources associated with Walker Lake for thousands of years. You have to build an interstate-level bridge across the Walker River, and there's a little town called the town of Walker Lake, which, quite frankly, is not a lot of places to go to miss that. You got the lake to the right if you're headed north, and you got the Wasatch Range to the left. Therefore, we have been talking with the folks at NDOT and with the federal folks to say, listen, I don't know whether you go around the east side of Walker Lake because you still have those Shears issues, where if the reservation wants to say we donate the right-of-way and give us an interchange, that's something to talk about. But if it's like we want to be compensated, then essentially that puts you cutting over to Highway 50 around where Hawthorne is. There's a route that goes there. It's the old Rawhide Mine Road that's federally owned, not a lot of topographic challenges. The other thing that's in there is you don't want to pick a route that, quite frankly, makes Hawthorne irrelevant. Interesting thing about Hawthorne, when you go out there and do a little bit of homework, they got about 10,000 acre feet of groundwater available, and they've got rail service. That's not going to be the new commercial capital of Western Nevada, but there's some opportunity there to do some things. I see Commissioner the wheels moving in Commissioner Gilman's mind. But anyhow, none of that withstanding, I wanted to make you aware of it because of the moving parts that will affect Story County in terms of TRI, USA Parkway, Interstate 80. What we're looking at the moment is you go to Fallon, there's kind of a natural wishbone. You got the Reno Highway going one way, you got the Lovelock Highway going the other way. There's no doubt that it's going through Winnemucca, and I would speculate, although I'm not an expert on Idaho politics, that between Twin Falls and Boise, I think I know who will win that fight. Could be wrong, but that's my wild speculation. The reason that I bring it up to the Story County Commission, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Gilman, is because it will, in any event, offer an opportunity to, A, be involved in a process that's not imminent, to allow people for a change, to have plenty of lead time to talk about planning and zoning and how you develop in your transportation infrastructure before bulldozers drop blades and start, you know, constructing that. And I'm gonna say my prediction is, at least a decade. If I'm wrong, the chances are it'll be longer. And if I'm wrong and it's shorter, it's like, wow. But you folks have a better finger on that pulse. But I wanted to bring that out because it's a phenomenally important thing, especially with the way Story County is now positioned kind of in the geographic center of what's going on in Western Nevada. Those will be important issues that you folks will be full partners in and ought to have some time to think about it. Recent news, there are some issues with a horse gather in northeastern Nevada. I know that Commissioner Gilman is more than a little interested in wild horses and those issues. We've talked in front of the commission before. Story County is kind of unique, being mostly private land, because the federal prohibitions on horse slaughter or anything else like that apply on federal land, which is most of the state except here in Story County. I have a call scheduled at 1:30 Nevada time with the acting director, national director of BLM, Brian Steed, who used to work as the chief of staff for Chris Stewart, who represents a congressional district in Utah, about it to say, so what happened? What's going on? What I think we know so far is that during a gather, some horses were shot, and I could probably find a better word for that, but you're in a hurry, and they were shot. I am told that the American Veterinary Association, that's in compliance with their protocols. I don't know. That's why we're having the call. There are some allegations that they were shot in multiple locations, not like whatever style, in the head or something like that, and we're also told that they were left to lay afterwards. Whether you think wild horses are a good thing or a bad thing, there are some problematic things in there. We're going to find out what the facts are. But the questions that we've submitted to, hey, is it protocol, even if you did it correctly, to leave them, lay and stuff like that? So anyhow, when we get more information, I'll provide it to Mr. Witten. If there's more feedback from the county, either officially through the commissioners or from people here, whatever we find out, you'll find out. It's obviously a public operation. There are no secrets. As far as I'm concerned, whatever information I have is public. So work in progress pending the 130 call. We got the technical corrections bill passed that dealt with some stuff in Lincoln County, some stuff in White Pine County, and some stuff in Story County in terms of survey requirements, which the BLM folks in the Carson District tell us that they had to do survey work in Story County based on the colorful history that probably it would be done sometime after people who aren't born yet are born. And so we have got an exception to that to take the survey requirement away. We've got a request into the Carson BLM to say, now give me a timetable for fixing that, because if there's something else that will hold that up a lot, and you didn't mention that for the lands bill, for the technical corrections bill, that's a big problem. And so we're not going to do this piecemeal. You told us what you thought the problem was. We fixed that so that that can be processed in the normal course of events in accordance with the original legislation. And so I am not expecting to hear that, oh, by the way, it's still going to be 5 or 6 years for that. We will report back as soon as we get the answer on that, which I expect within 30 days. And with that, if there's anything else, any other issues, anything else on your mind, I'd be happy to respond to it. We owe you some information back on horses and the technical corrections bill. If you have other questions on the I-11 issues, let us know, and we'll plug you into whatever stuff we're involved with, whether it be with the State Transportation Board or whether it be with the folks at the federal level.
Okay, go ahead.
First off, I want to acknowledge Stacy as the congressman did from the congressman's state office here. She's been fabulous to work with. Amazing how things come full circle, right? The congressman's going to be here, and now he's got a schedule conflict. Now he's going to drop everything and join us. I want to roll the clock back, Congressman, to 1999. Actually, in 98, you and I ran. You were coming off state assembly, running for state senate.
I was a pretty scared guy. Yeah.
We knocked on many doors together or followed one another throughout the county. And it was in 99, first in 99, that then State Senator Amaday arranged for a meeting with Chuck Schinner, just a walk back through memory lane. And we talked about the zip code issues. So we've been working on this for almost 20 years. And if there was one person, and there is one person, who has always been there for Story County and has been just an absolute anchor in a phenomenal way, that has been Congressman Amaday. He has arranged countless meetings that he has personally participated in, both here in Reno and also back in Washington, D.C. for us. We brought together officials from the post office, from Pitney Bowes for some strange reason, for the Department of Taxation, and you have one of these frequently. And this has been done. This is a huge, huge milestone. There's a lot of work to do. Comptroller Gallagher and I have talked. We now have to get a hold of taxation, like you mentioned, sir, and several others, including the fine folks at the post office. But we got a letter in hand that hopefully says it happened. And I personally would like to lead a huge thank you round of applause to you for your efforts. So thank you.
Thank you. I might, Mr. Chairman, thank you. That's kind of embarrassing, Pat, but that did remind me that since I told you the story, I don't know if there is such thing as an honorary admiral in the Story County Navy or, you know, honorary membership in the Jeep Posse or something like that. But we will be getting a hold of you to say, can we make Mark Meadows from North Carolina like the honorary captain in the Jeep Posse or the Story County Navy or colonel in the something or other, something that is sufficiently embarrassing that I don't think I can get him out here for you to present it to him, but I'll try that. But the other thing is I'll present it to him in some appropriately auspicious and embarrassing way in D.C. To say, hey, thanks for uttering what are now those famous words of, oh, you need a zip code? So anyhow, I'd like to tell you it's because I'm such a great hardball legislator and all that other sort of stuff. And so while I was in there just going, hey, can you move that bill? And it was like, oh, well, if you need a zip code. And I'm like, anyhow, so I want to disclose that so nobody thinks that we, if there's anything in the closet, that's it. So the closet's empty now. Thank you. I appreciate your willingness to get me back on the calendar on short notice, and we look forward to finishing this stuff up.
Okay. Well, Congressman, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You always have a colorful dialogue for us, and we know you have an extremely busy schedule. It is the season for you, and we're just thrilled that you could take time out of your day to come up here and bring us all up to date. And we've only known about the zip code for a couple of days, but we wanted to keep it under wraps until you were here in order to go ahead and let everybody know that it's finally been approved. And
hey, if they have at the post office or whatever, like the first day of the zip code or something, let me know and they can like stamp it on my cheek or something like that.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you very much. All right, next up we have item number 4. This is discussion and possible action. The approval of the minutes for September the 18th of 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes? September the 18th. Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second to approve the minutes for September the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving on now to item number 5, discussion of possible action. Approve the minutes for October the 2nd, 2018. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of October the 2nd? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have
a second?
Second. Moved and second to approve the minutes for October the 2nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6. This is the consent agenda for today. Are there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right, we're going to go ahead and skip 7 and 8 for right now. Moving on to item number 9, discussion and possible action. Approval of resolution 18-513, approving notice of completion and acceptance of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. Sherry Nevin.
Sherry Nevin, for the record, as Commissioner McBride mentioned, you have before you today resolution number 18-513, accepting substantial completion on the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. We embarked on this construction project just about 13 months ago, and we're happy to be recommending this for approval to you today. We are completing on time.
Sherry's cutting out on me.
Okay, maybe you could just either speak up or get a little bit closer to the microphone, Sherry.
Okay. Can you hear me okay now, Jack?
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay. So again, resolution 18-513, notice of substantial completion on the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. Like I said, the project is being completed on time, within budget. We have a final pay request due to Ames Construction, which is being processed. We have faced quite a few challenges along the way with this project, but We've had a great team assembled. So at this time, I would ask for your approval of the resolution before you, and then I would ask for a couple more minutes after to make some presentations to our project team.
Very good. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
I'll reserve mine until the presentation.
Okay. And then if we go ahead and get a motion to approve?
Sure. I move to approve Resolution 18-513, Notice of Completion and Acceptance of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project.
I have a motion.
I'll
by
second.
A second. Is that a second, Jack? Okay, great. For a call
yeah,
for the
second,
vote. I wanted to bring up one thing before we vote on this, is that someone, and I don't know who it was, but I have an idea, had marched around town letting residents and business owners know that this project was behind schedule and over budget for the longest period of time. So, as you just pointed out, Ms. Nevin, that's totally false news, fake news, as the president might say. So everybody in this room knows for a fact it was on time and on budget, just as everyone had said it would be. So thanks to all of you who are participating in this endeavor. It was a great project, the largest public works project in Virginia City's modern day history. So,
I might add, when we use phrases like on time and on budget, actually we're early, as I recall. And more importantly, we had bid alts that we had discounted, that we had not planned on getting. I'm looking at Mike to say, yes, that's true, or Jennifer. But we actually were able to circle back and get more work done than we thought they could because of cost savings that were brought in conjunction with, I'll start with Ames, but then I'll congratulate, I'm going to say more when we get to the presentations, the flexibility and the nimbleness of Far West, and also the county through Mike's leadership and Sherry's detail. We were able to get so much more done. And I'll cite one example that won't even show up on the books anywhere, but Mike and I, when he was public works director, had a project to take four simple storm drains off of the sewer system. That cost ballooned from $500,000 to $1.5 million. And we were in hopefully a cost sharing with NDOT, typical of NDOT, not to disparage them, but you know, once they turn it over to their engineers, that's how it goes from $500,000 to $1.5 million. We took those four storm drains off using the existing system, thanks to brilliance like Jim Jarrett, who's here in the audience, Caleb Dale, who's here, Seth Alexander, who's here, and again, flexing through Jennifer, Lucas, Tom, and Far West. We did all that at no cost to the county. And trust me, I plan on leveraging that in our next negotiating meeting with NDOT to say, well, what are you going to do for us now that we've saved you a lot of money? So that fake news, as you called it, Mr. Chairman, is frustrating to say the least, especially when nothing could be further from the truth, and I thank everybody.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second on this, and now I'll say call for the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Great. All right, now, Sherry, you have something that you want to follow up with now.
I certainly do. First of all, I'd like to call up Ames Construction. I think we have Seth, Caleb, and Jim here that I know of in the audience. So.
And any others that want to come up, right?
Yeah, Ames. Any other from Ames who's here that would like to join us.
And while they come up, I'm just going to chime in from the cheap seats. I think I wish I would have recorded Caleb's conversation or Caleb's speech out at the divide when we had the royal flush and the indoctrination or the initiation of the pipeline project. This is the most incredible team I have ever come across. Keeping in mind that a lot of our team, Martin, Community Development, Austin, we work with big companies all across the nation. Hanson Rice, who built Walmart, and others. I have never come across a company as incredible as Ames Construction is. And I have this team that stands before us today. Thank God for you guys. You guys are amazing. So thank you. And I know Jim hates every second of this. So.
Anything we can do to embarrass you?
They do a good job.
So thank you for joining us today. We have this small token of our appreciation to present to Ames Construction in recognition and sincere appreciation for your contribution to the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. We appreciate your commitment and dedication to this monumental Story County project presented to you the 16th day of October 2018 by the Story County Board of County Commissioners. So you can probably display this somewhere. It's a piece of a that we're all very familiar with. So I've got a certificates here for Skip, Sarah, and Jim. And we wish to recognize everyone who was involved, but we have to call out the most important players in the project.
It took a lot of people.
Next up, we have Far West Engineering. So we've got Jen, Lucas, and Tom here today. Please come forward.
And well, before Sherry starts, I again can't shut up. We're working with friends that we've worked this closely with, especially from Far West perspective over many, many years. I remember when we first started, this was one of the two key projects that Mike and I focused on when we first met Far West. The other was a rate study for our water rates, as I recall. So we got to know Brent. And over the course of time working with Brent and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, we learned a lot in the process, a tremendous amount. And then Brent, as busy as he was, passed us off to Lucas Tipton. Lucas, who's standing here, you know, on the far right as everybody looks at him except for this table. And I thought, oh, really, we got to deal with somebody else besides Brent? I went kicking and screaming, and I know Mike did too. That relationship has just developed into a true phenomenal one. And then along came this project, and while Luke designed and did the heavy lifting on the treatment plant, he needed to pass it on to someone, and that was Jennifer Hearn. And I have to tell you, again, I went kicking and screaming. I thought, oh, no, we got to break in a whole nother one. And I have to tell you, I've come to cherish this lady. When she calls, you know, whether it's at 5 o'clock at night or on a weekend, saying, I think we can do this, we need to address this, we have a cost overrun here, but we have adequate reserves here. This is an amazing team. And then last on the list is Tom. Tom really, I think if I understand it right, is kind of in quasi-retirement and part-time, but, you know, has just come to be such an instrumental boots on the ground here. It's amazing for me. I think I know most of the people here in Virginia City, although as time has gone on, you know, there are new players that I have not met. Shame on me. But when I hear Tom talking to Jim or Caleb that this is John Doe's house over on E Street, and Mike scratching his head saying, wait a minute, E Street? You know, and even Mike and I are flummoxed. Tom has become a vital part of this community in the years. So thank goodness again that we partnered with Far West, that we continue to partner with Far West. They're our engineer for the pipeline project. They're our engineer working together with US EPA and NDEP on the Gold Hill solution. There's not a better engineering company out there, so thank you guys.
So again, we have a plaque for Far West Engineering. This is presented to Far West Engineering in recognition and sincere appreciation of your contributions to the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. We appreciate your commitment and dedication to this monumental Story County project, presented the 16th day of October 2018. So whoever would like to hold that. And again, a few certificates, and without these folks, I could not do my job. So you guys are like phenomenal, and we work really well as a team, and we get it done.
And when you contract everybody.
You good? Tom? And I have two other certificates for Mike and Dan. They were both inspectors on the job that weren't here today.
Great. Thank you.
And next up, great we job. Have USDA Rural Development folks that are with us today.
Good
And I think I can remember the day that Pat called me to his office and said, can you come over to my office? And I'm thinking, oh, my God. What? I was in the middle of doing something. I run right over, and Cheryl and Lisa sitting in his office with this letter for, like, $14 million that we're going to give you. And he was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, we've never seen this kind of money before. So we got a loan of nearly $4 million and a grant of almost $9,000 to do this project. So
$9 million.
So a total of just short of $15 million for this project. That's not accounting for money that we received from Army Corps of Engineers to do some of the design, CDBG. There's been a lot of funders, but without USDA, we would never have been able to do this. So we have a plaque for them as well. We've got Phil, their state director, here today, Lisa, and John. So we totally appreciate you guys and couldn't have done it without you. So this here is presented to the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Nevada, in recognition and sincere appreciation of your contributions to the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. We appreciate your commitment and dedication to this monumental Story County project. Presented the 16th day of October, 2018.
And if I may, while Phil and his team is here, I wish the congressman had been able to stay, because we work with all kinds of federal agencies. There is nobody like USDA. It's too bad Cheryl couldn't be here today as well. I think it was Cheryl and Lisa that came to Mike and I years and years ago and said, you're going to need us. And they hung in there with us. I can't tell you what an invaluable partner they are, whether we're looking at fire trucks or ambulances or sewer pipe or water pipe, and hopefully package plants yet again. They are the epitome of a stream. USDA RD specifically is the epitome and textbook definition, I think, of a great federal government partner. So thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Next up, we have Mike Nevin, all Comstock LLC. So Mike has been our boots on the ground project coordinator for this, and well, I don't think that when we started we envisioned quite what it would be, the project as a whole, and I just totally appreciate him being there and walking us through it. So, I don't know if I'll be able to read this, but it says the same thing as everyone.
and if I may again, I practically had to beg Mike. He really did want to retire. I think we got criticized and beat up by some for bringing Mike out of retirement to continue a project that basically he was the one that really structured it from the county standpoint. I know Mike went into this thinking, okay, this is just a part-time gig and I'll be done. It wound up being weekends sometimes when we had leaks and water problems and other problems. It wound up being a lot more than he ever anticipated. I will tell you, just like I say of a few others, on a fixed rate contract, we certainly got our money's worth and then some from Mike. And if anybody should be hugging him and shaking his hand, it should be Jason W., because there was countless hours saved and streamlined thanks to Mike's, as Sherry said, boots on the ground. Mike, thank you for a job well done, and I look forward to finishing up the next couple with you. So.
Just a quick comment, if I may. Thank you so much, but I don't know that I deserve this. But I just wanted to point out, Marshall made mention, and this project actually was about 3 months ahead of schedule when it's all said and done. So that's, you know, quite the milestone for the project itself, because not knowing what you're getting into sometimes is kind of scary, to say the least. And so we worked through it, and thankfully, like you said, we had an excellent contractor in Ames. And the other thing is, I want to make mention the fact that I never thought that I'd ever see this project completed in full in my lifetime. We always thought we were going to have to phase this project, several phases, seven, eight phases. And through the courteous assistance of, course, USDA Rural Development, we made it happen. And we took savings here and there, working through Jan and Sherry, crunching numbers, Caleb at Ames, and we got everything that we could complete in Virginia City and the Divide done as part of this project. Huge milestone. So thank you so much.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
And next up, we have the folks from Broadbent and Associates. We've got Margo here today, and I believe Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda and Clara
May. Clara May, we finally have a name. Welcome.
And while they come up and get settled in, I want to, again, kind of single out Broadbent in a very unique way. They probably had the toughest job of everybody. One is they had to deal with Mike Nevin more upfront and personal, I think, than some folks. And Mike was passionate about his job, as he should be. But most importantly, you know, when you start digging 10, 20, 40 feet underground, you don't know what's there. And these folks were there in the trenches with the contractors, with the construction team, vested up in safety gear to preserve and protect the historic integrity of what was there. They made some amazing discoveries. There's a report that's due out, I hope, before the end of the year, so John gets a chance to, you know, to put his stamp on there. But I applaud Broadbent. Margo herself specifically brings a love and a passion for the Comstock that we were very, very lucky to be able to capitalize on. Amanda was always there until, obviously, she had to start the next generation of archaeologists. So, but she was there up until, I think, the very last day, as I recall. So, and then we all hung in there on pins and needles waiting to hear the news. So, congratulations, Mom.
Thank you.
And thank you, Margo and Amanda and the entire Broadbent team for a great job. Thank you.
Presenting this plaque to Broadbent and Associates in recognition and sincere appreciation of your contributions to the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. We appreciate your commitment and dedication to this monumental Story County project, presented the 16th day
of October
2018. So I've got certificates for you, Margo and Amanda, and as well as a few other folks that were on the job. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. And a couple more before we close things out. We have Jason Wersecki from our Public Works Department. Let's come forward, Jason. I don't have a fancy piece of pipe for you, Jason.
Sure, Jack asked if you could speak closer.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that, Jack. Moving around here.
Thank you.
So we have a certificate of appreciation to Jason Wersbecki in recognition and sincere appreciation of your contributions to this project. We truly appreciate your commitment and dedication to this monumental project. And this includes Jason and all of his staff that were constantly, you know, coming to aid when we broke a water line or any other number of things at any time of the day or night. So we appreciate your guys' support of this project.
Yeah, just wanted to let you guys know that this appreciation award goes to the guys more than me because they were the guys that was in there more than I was.
Thank you.
And one final certificate of appreciation is going to Pat Whitten. I mean, none of us could have done this without your leadership, Pat, and keeping us on path, coming to our weekly meetings. I think we had almost 52 meetings, minus a few here or there that some of us missed. But Pat was there almost every single Wednesday with most of us. I mean, some of us, we couldn't be there every Wednesday. But we truly appreciate your leadership on this project, Pat, and helping us see it forward. So.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. That was terrific. All right, next up is item number 10. It was a, and this is discussion with possible action, discussion and possible action on Bill 102, the second reading of Ordinance number 18-293.
Good morning, Board. Robert Morris for the record. I'm here to ask you to approve the second reading of Ordinance 18-293. And it is basically to approve new international codes for use by the county. There's also Northern Nevada amendments that are specific to the code, and then in the code itself, there are changes that affect solely Story County. If I could tell you, there's been just one change since the first reading, and that's in the preamble of the ordinance. Now, the change, the preambles aren't really part of the ordinance, but they're to show the intent of the county in dealing with permits. And originally, there was going to be a six-month delay before the effectiveness of this code. And in talking with Mr. Haynes about this, we decided that we would make it effective under the normal course of things, but that projects that were initiated under the 2012 code could proceed and be finished using that code. And I think that's legally supportable and a better way of handling it. And so that's the only real change in the code. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I just ask you to approve the second reading of this ordinance.
Thanks, Bob. Do you have any questions, Lance?
No questions.
On this? Jack, do you have any questions for Bob on this?
No.
Okay, very good. We'll open it for public.
Good.
Did you say something else, Jack? I'm sorry.
They said I'm good.
Okay,
thank you.
Very good. We'll open up for public comment. Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the second reading of Ordinance number 18-293.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Very good. It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Very good. At this time, we're going to recess as the Board of Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire District Board. Next on our agenda is item number 12, discussion and possible action. Discussion, this is on resolution 18-515. Mr. Morris.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. This is a change from the previous meeting, and I would like to just take a few minutes to explain that it was initially proposed as an ordinance for the Fire Board of Commissioners to approve. After discussions with Mr. Loomis and thinking about it, I thought it would be better to do this as a resolution for the Fire Board. And so I've reformatted it as a resolution. It only takes a single reading, and so you can go ahead and approve it as a resolution today, and this basically adopts those portions of the new codes as regulations for the Story County Fire Protection District. And I just ask that you go ahead and approve this resolution. It's consistent with the ordinance that you just adopted, and so I think it's a better way to handle it than have a separate resolution for it.
Or a separate ordinance?
I mean, a separate ordinance.
Okay,
I'm
maybe
sorry.
You could just explain what the advantages of having a resolution as opposed to an ordinance.
Well, a resolution can be passed in a single meeting. There's no requirements that there be publishing afterwards. And I would say in NRS under the 474 districts, there's nothing in there to tell a fire board how to do ordinances. And resolutions are use by all sorts of boards, and there's no requirements other than that it's heard in a public hearing, and you can go ahead and approve it, and that would adopt the resolution, and that contains the fire district regulations that we're interested in starting to use.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Jack, do you have any questions or comments on this resolution?
Yeah, a comment. I kind of see this as getting rid of some of the red tape. I think it's a good thing. It's a more efficient way of getting things done.
Yeah, I agree with you. Lance, do you have any comments or questions? None? Okay. With that said, there's no public comment. We'll go ahead and ask for a motion to approve.
I move to approve resolution number 18-515, adopting the 2018 International Fire Code, the 2018 International Wildland Urban Interface Code, the 2017 National Fire Protection Association Standards, NFPA, and the 2018 Northern Nevada Amendments to the International Fire Code.
Very good. I've got a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Very good. It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. We're going to adjourn as the 474 Fire Board and reconvene as Surrey County Board of Commissioners. Next up on our agenda is item 14, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible approval of agreement issuing license to Switch Business Solutions.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is an agreement whereby the county will issue a license to Switch so that they can install a data transmission line within the county's right-of-way on Sydney Avenue and Peru Avenue and partially on Electric Avenue. The term of the agreement is for an initial term of 20 years. There's five-year renewals. There is a $500 annual fee or $1 per lineal foot, whichever is greater as a revenue that could come into the county. Basically the outline.
Are you good with this?
I'm good.
Okay.
You bet.
We'll go ahead and open this up for any public comment. Jack, do you have any comments or questions regarding this agreement with Switch?
No questions.
All right. That said, if I can get a motion to approve.
I, Lance Gilman, Commissioner, move to approve the Rights of Way License Agreement authorizing Switch Business Solutions, LLC, to install a data communications line within a portion of the county's right-of-way within the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, and authorize the chairman to sign.
All right, so I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Been moved and second to approve this licensing agreement with Switch. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Moving along to item number 15, this is discussion on possible action. This is 2018-036, special use permit by applicant Dylan Lee. This is a special use permit to operate an outdoor establishment promoting tourism and local activities.
Thank you, Kathy Canfield, for the record. This is a special use permit that's required because of the outdoor operation. In the interest of time, I'll just say that summarize the Planning Commission heard the request and voted unanimously 7-0 to approve. To recommend approval of the project, and the applicant is here today.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this special use permit application? Jack, do you have any questions or comments on this item?
Yes. I understand that this is just a stand to hand out information.
Yeah, there's not going to be any retail sales involved in this yet. It's just an information desk.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Lance, do you have anything on this?
No questions.
Me neither. I'm good with it. I attended the Planning Commission meeting. So would you read findings of fact in the motion for approval?
This approval is for special use permit 2018-036. To operate an outdoor establishment promoting tourism and local activities. The establishment consists of a small movable stand that will act as a table and be located within the front patio area of an existing commercial establishment, the Firehouse Grill, Barbecue Saloon. The property is located at 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 001-07328. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, programs, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on the adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, any other plans, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. Proposed uses in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Virginia City planning area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in Section 2C of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in approval of this special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Sections 17.03.150, Special Use Permit, and Section 17.30, CR, Commercial Residential Zone.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hatfield. All right. With that said, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve the special use permit.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve Special Use Permit 2018-036 to operate an outdoor establishment promoting tourism and local activities. The establishment consists of a small movable stand that will act as a table and be located within the front patio area of an existing commercial establishment, Firehouse Grill, Barbecue, and Saloon. The property is located at 171 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 001-073-28.
Great. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All right, guys. Moved a second to approve special use permit 2018-036. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion and possible action. Variance 2018-037, request to the front and side yard setbacks for the construction of a detached garage to allow for a front yard setback of 20 feet versus required 30 feet, a side yard setback of 8 feet versus the required 15 feet. So, Ms. Canfield.
Again, this was heard at the October 4th Planning Commission meeting. It's for a variance for a garage in the Virginia City Highlands area. The Planning Commission had a lengthy discussion on this project and voted to recommend approval 6-1.
Very good.
The applicant is also here if there's any question.
All right. First of all, I'll open up and see if there's any public comment. Would the applicant like to speak on this item? Come on up if you'd like to. Come on up to the podium. We have to, so we can get it on tape. If you'll identify yourself for the record.
Commissioners, my name is Beth Smith, and I'm a resident of the Highlands. My husband and I have lived there for about...
I can't hear.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. We've been residents of the Highlands for about 12 years. We're relative newcomers to the area. Before that, we lived in northeastern Nevada for 18 years. I'd like to answer any questions I can if you have any questions about the variance or the circumstances.
All right. I'll ask the commissioner. Do you have any questions
or comments? I do not.
Jack, do you have any questions or comments regarding this variance?
No, you know, I wasn't able to attend the last planning commission meeting, so I really don't have a feel for this. I see that there's a recommendation by the planning commission, but not by the staff. Can you explain that?
Yes, this is Kathy again. When staff originally was looking at this project, we looked at this more in a black and white situation of, are there other options on the property to place the garage? After the discussion at the planning commission meeting, I believe the planning commissioners felt, for the most part, that although this is, by recommending approval for the variance, it is also meeting the other items that they're trying to accomplish in there. By moving the garage to a different location, it takes out the trees, which also makes the garage more more visible to the surrounding neighborhood. It makes more of the area disturbed. So the Planning Commission voted that although they recognize staff looking at this as a pretty cut and dry situation, that there were a lot of other elements to be considered with that they felt that they could make those findings.
Is there any opposition by neighbors?
No, they had support from the neighbor that did show up.
Okay. Are there neighbors?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jack, the one commissioner that opposed it was one of your neighbors out there who sits on the board. This board, in past history, the Highlands is a very unique area to build in that. And with the topography, we know that sometimes it's a challenge to go ahead and develop your property the way you'd like to. And so when we look at items like this, when I personally look at items like this, I see a residence such as yourself that's there to improve the property for the benefit of your residents and for your community. It's good for the county because you're going to put more square footage on the assessor's map, which means you're going to be paying higher taxes in the county. Or I shouldn't say higher taxes, but more taxes in the county. So we appreciate that as well. I always like to see people who are improving their properties. And I listened to your explanation on why you wanted to put it where you did in order to save some of the trees, because trees are a very difficult commodity to come by in the Highlands. And so if you ripped out some of those pines, they'll never grow back again. So you'd have to change the type of flora you'd go with. So anyway,
I'm quite aware that some of those parcels are tricky to build on because just the shape or the terrain, you know. But you know, you don't want to impose on the neighbors, you know. So if there's no issues with the neighbors, I don't have an issue.
Yeah. Okay. I think Austin walked up the podium. I think he wanted to weigh in on this.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Austin Osborne. We concur with everything that's being said here. Kathy said it perfectly fine. I just want to reinforce what she said. We're not going to have any lost sleep if this gets approved, despite our just having to do what we have to do with a recommendation. But this is not a bad project, and we don't believe it's going to be an adverse impact.
That's good, because you work enough hours not to lose sleep. So, all right. I'll open up one more time if there's any public comment regarding this variance. Hearing none, if I can get you, Kathy, go ahead and read the findings of fact or motion for approval.
This approval is for a variance 2018-037 to the front and side yard setbacks for the construction of a detached garage to allow for a front yard setback of 20 feet versus the required 30 feet and a side yard setback of 8 feet versus the required 15 feet. The property is located at 1930 Applegate Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN003-10105. The subject property is located within E1 VCH estate zoning with an existing residence as a primary use, and the proposed garage is an allowed accessory use. that because of special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including shape, size, topography, or location of surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would deprive the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity or under identical zone classification. That the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant. That the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, adversely affect to a material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 17.03.140 variances, 17.40E estate zone, and 17.12 general provisions when all conditions of approval are met. The proposed variance is in compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. With the findings of facts being read, if I can get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by the Planning Commission, but against the recommendation by staff, and with the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report, and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gelman, move to approve a variance 218-037, to the front and side yard setbacks for the construction of a detached garage, to allow for a front yard setback of 20 feet versus the required 30 feet, and side yard setbacks of 8 feet versus the required 15 feet. The property is located at 1930 Applegate Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, assessor parcel number APN-003-101-05.
Okay. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve this variance, 2018-037. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving right along to item number 17, discussion and possible action. Special use permit 2018-038 is a request by the applicant to allow for an accessory dwelling unit on an existing developed residential property. Ms. Canfield.
Again, this is a special use permit for an accessory dwelling unit on the property. The dwelling unit has existed on the property, had been developed by a previous owner. The applicant had come in to legalize everything. The proposed unit meets all the requirements for accessory dwelling units. So staff and the Planning Commission are recommending approval.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding on this item? The property owner wishes to testify, by any means? After? Okay. Do you have any questions with regard to this?
No, no questions.
Jack, do you have any questions or comments?
No, nothing.
Okay. At this time, if you'd read the findings of facts for a motion for approval.
This approval is for special use permit 2018-038 to allow for an accessory dwelling unit on an existing developed residential property. This approval allows for an accessory dwelling unit within a previously constructed garage. The subject property is located at 1931 Loustown Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number 003-12307. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Virginia City Highlands rural residential community area in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in Section 2E of the staff report and contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. Special use permit complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, the zoning ordinance, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to the official notice by the county. The proposal location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential to the surrounding land uses, community, and neighborhood. The special use permit will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites, or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan. This title and any other plans, program, map, or ordinances adopted or under consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. Special use permit with the recommended conditions of approval complies with the requirements of Chapter 17.03.150 special use permit, 17.12.046 accessory dwellings, location and placement, and 17.40 estate zone.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. So with that said, if we can go ahead and get a motion. What's that, Jack?
Okay. Now, I had a hard time hearing Kathy. Now, we've been through this before kind of thing, if the people sell or move away or something, does this extra dwelling, does it have to be refurbished back to the garage or whatever it was before, or do you have to remove the bathroom or shower or...
Kathy's looking for it, Jack. Hold on a second.
Yeah, we've done that in the past. That's why I'm asking you, is that a condition of this special use permit?
Yes, this permit is only for, if you look at condition K, the transfer of rights, special use permit belongs exclusively to Brian and Amanda Burleson and the real property subject to the permit, so long as one or both owners own and maintain the primary residence to the subject property. Special use permit is non-transferable. So if a new person bought this, they would need to come in and obtain a special use permit so that they're meeting the same requirements that were there, or that the unit itself would have to be adjusted so it's no longer a dwelling unit.
Okay.
Yeah. Kathy, you explained this, but this is kind of a funny situation where the applicant actually came in for to go ahead and comply with this, only to find out that the previous owners had converted this illegally. So he was simply trying to come into compliance when he found out that it hadn't been in compliance before.
Yeah.
So he's done a nice remodel on it and up to snuff. So he's playing by the rules, and that's one of the things that community development is doing, is getting everybody who's not in compliance into compliance. And so this is one of these. This is a good thing that's happening today.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the story I received on that residence too. So I just wanted to make sure we're playing fair across the board with the other people who had special use permits in that.
That's correct. That's correct, Jack.
Realm. Okay.
All right. So, we get a motion.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3.A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve Special Use Permit 2018-038, a request by the applicant to allow for an accessory dwelling unit on an existing developed residential property. The applicant desires an accessory dwelling unit within a previously approved garage with a shop office be legally established with a special use permit. The subject property is located at 1931 Lousetown Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, assessor's parcel number APN 003-123-07.
Thanks, Lance. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved to second to approve the special use permit 2018-038. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 18. This is discussion only. We'll take no action. Online tentative process to select the next county manager.
Thank you,
Mr. Whitley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It should come as no surprise and has been no secret that sometime in the foreseeable future, I hope to retire. I signed on as sheriff in 1999 for 4 years. I'm still here. And while I don't have a specific date to make an official announcement today, subject to a meeting I intend to have with the folks at PERS. A good target date should be on or about July 1st of next year. We enter a new fiscal year, and it will be time, I think, change is always good.
Okay.
So in that endeavor, while some people have advocated for a national recruitment, my experience with national recruitments is they rarely, if ever, work, at least for a state as unique as Nevada, and a county definitely as unique within that state as Story. As I've mentioned, I think, to each commissioner individually, do you really want to bring somebody in who doesn't even know how to say the state's name properly, from back east potentially? Statewide, you know, do you really want to bring in somebody from a large metro area like Vegas that's going to tell us how to do things in Story County? And I don't necessarily advocate for those, but what I do advocate for, no matter what, and agree with, is it's incumbent upon me and ultimately the commission, who will make the decision as to who might replace me, to select the best candidate available. So in that endeavor, I've taken a few action steps already that I intend to come back to the commission, as long as I don't hear from any one of you individually, as far as any, you know, outcry, like, what the heck are you doing? Structured a few steps and wanted to spend some time today just to kind of chat with you about where I think it should head, and then we'll come back probably on November 9th and seek your approval of specifics. Yesterday I had lunch with an individual, last week to back up. I was chatting about this with District Attorney Langer. Ann was kind enough to share with me a process that she participated in back in, I believe it would have been, let me look here, would have been the early 2000s when Carson City needed a city manager. And they went through a process that I thought was pretty cool. They impaneled two different interview boards, if you will. One was comprised of county officials, knowledgeable of a high level of detail with government. That could include elected officials, department heads, maybe somebody on staff in my office. And then they also impaneled a citizen interview board to develop a scoring process, rank them, and took however many applicants basically that came in and reduced us through a screening process first for qualifications. Because oftentimes you get applicants that don't meet any of their qualifications. They just throw their name in, regardless of what the job is. And then you take that number and hopefully reduce it down to about 8 or 10. And ultimately then through these through these interview panels, both citizen and internal or county official, you get down to a more manageable number of a top two or a top three, and you present them to the county commission. There's still an awful lot of details to work out, but yesterday I had lunch with an individual that Ann's reminder to me of who they selected triggered a bell. I'm sometimes so close I may not see the forest through the trees, and again, I think no matter who's picked, it needs to be the best candidate, regardless internal or external. So the candidate was selected back in the early 2000s for Carson City was a woman by the name of Linda Ritter. I've worked with Linda closely over the years. And I'll just briefly mention she sent a resume that I can provide to anybody that's interested. But from 91 to 97, she was the assistant county manager in Elko. From 97 to 03, she was the city manager for Elko. And then from 03 to 08, she was the city manager for Carson City, did a fabulous job. She then did special projects for Carson post-retirement in 08 and has her own consulting firm, although she's kind of mothballed that due to some family medical needs that have arisen that she's tending to. Linda is more than willing to come in, and I'm suggesting my intent would be to pass the process off to her. She would, in essence, become in charge of it. That, I think, filters out any potential bias that I may or may not have, or preference, I guess, would be a more appropriate word. And then we would go through this process. Outlines, we're still working on timelines. A few things to be completed, but sometime beginning starting next month, she would sit down with each of the three commissioners, probably key staff. You know, these would include, of course, the comptroller, public works director, some of the electeds out there, and say, you know, what are you looking for in your next county manager? I mean, you know, this is a great opportunity for the county. You've only known one county manager, and I'm pretty much unchangeable. But now you got a real chance to kind of mold what you're hopefully going to engage. She wants to work on a brochure talking about the greatness of Story County, both in terms of the history that's here and the fabulous opportunities out in the industrial park and our housing stock and everything. So I'm working with Sherry on that. That would happen in November, and then we would go to active advertising, hopefully going into the Thanksgiving week. That would be done through various sources, including there's a International County Managers Association that we go out to. We heavily use NACO, that's involved. For the month of December, we think we would screen down to whatever number of applicants would be optimal or qualified, I guess, highly qualified. And that number, again, targeted somewhere in the 8 to 10 range, but not set in stone. We'd also create the review committees. I think Linda's idea, and I totally agree with this, is we may be looking at a panel of six on the outside, allowing each commissioner to pick two. We could flex to seven or eight, but I'd encourage that each of you follow that recommendation, pick two to put on there. We'll go out for solicitation through web announcements and maybe an ad in the CompSoc Chronicle at the appropriate point in time. I'd advocate, too, that there at least be, regardless, maybe it's Commissioner Gilman's and Commissioner McBride's, Chairman McBride's recommendations that, you know, on that panel you have at least one individual representing the tourism sector here in Virginia City and one individual representing the commercial industrial sector out at the industrial park. But we go into committee interviews probably going into the end of the year. And again, these times are very, very soft right now and subject to discussion, which, by the way, I did, when I mentioned I'm going to turn over the process to Linda, subject to your approval. It would be my intent, though, to still stay on top of it. But if there are any differences of opinion, which I've worked with Linda for so long, I don't anticipate any, that those then would be, because we do have already one slight difference. I think her timeline doesn't match what I would recommend, but those will be forwarded to you, Mr. Chairman, for your determination as to what you prefer as the chairman of the board. But we'd get down to a final two to three candidates. I advocate then that you guys each be given the opportunity for one-on-one interviews with these folks. Linda's checking to make sure that's compliant. She's checking with Ann to make sure that's compliant with open meeting requirements. We would do background investigations on probably the final two or three, and then there'd be a public board interview sometime possibly in early February, and a board selection in February, and then the process would go forward from there. So mostly, again, my intent is just to go public with this, tell you what I'm trying to do and why. I know I've talked to each of you individually. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, ideas, let me know. But I think it's an independent, transparent process, and it's, I think, a sound process that other jurisdictions have used that still goes out externally and looks and also looks internally, knowing that we have hopefully at least one and maybe more internal candidates. That's pretty much where I'm headed, and I'd welcome your comments anytime.
Great. Thanks for that, Brad.
Great plan. I'm going to bid your leave, if I may.
I thought we were on item 18.
That was 18, yeah.
Okay. What, 18 is to approve second readings of business license.
That's 19.
All
right.
No, 19 says it's a denial of agenda item request from Drusilla.
Okay.
Tyson?
I'm thinking maybe you're looking at a tentative draft before the...
That could have been. Okay.
Yeah, the 18 was the outline tentative process to select a new county manager that Pat was just outlining, Jack.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a non-action item, but... 19 is discussion of possible action, the approval of business license, second readings. So why don't we do that just in case you get dropped off for some reason. So.
Okay. So moving along then to item 19, 18 on your agenda, Commissioner McGuffey, is business licenses. And hang on, let me catch back up on a piece of paper here. Community Development recommends approvals of item A through D, as they appear on your agenda as conforming and compliant to all county criteria. We would ask for a motion to approve items A through D inclusive.
Thanks, Pat. Is there any public comment regarding the approval of the license, the business license second readings? Hearing none, if we can get a motion to approve, Jack, or I can do the motion.
I'll make a motion to approve items A through D.
Great, thank you. And I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve all items A through D. Second reading business license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, let's go ahead and we'll move back to item number 7. This is discussion only, and we'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start with the on the right side of the building with Sheriff Antonoro.
Do you want to have the record reflect that Commissioner Gilman has excused himself?
Yeah. If the clerk would go ahead and note that Commissioner Gilman went ahead and excused himself after the last item, is no longer in attendance. I don't think we have anything left to vote on, so quorum isn't an issue. And you had nothing, Jerry? I'm sorry. Okay. Public Works Project Coordinator, Mr. Northan.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mike Northan for the record, reporting for Story County Public Works. Slurry sealing is going to be finishing up this week. They've been knocking that out, so that is looking like it's going to close up this week. The two radar signs have been installed at each end of town on C Street, one just inboard of the Virginia City Station, the other one just outboard of the 4th Ward School, and they are up and functioning.
I can't hear you, Michael.
Yes, sir. Just reported that the two radar signs have been installed at each end of town. Reports drivers speed on their way into town, one by the Virginia City Station and the other by the 4th Ward School, and they are up and functioning. Storm drain installations are ongoing, and they're going to continue at various locations around town. I don't have a schedule of locations for you at this time. And last thing is Public Works is making preparations to start work on demolishing a portion of the Black and Howell building. We're getting some safety screening together and preparing for that work. And that's all I have, sirs.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Do you have any questions for Mike, Jack?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. All right. Over to the IT, Director of IT, James Dean.
Thank you, James, for chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Fire Marshal, Martin Acevedo.
Nothing to report to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Martin. Director of St. Mary's, Ms. Perry.
Thank you.
Thank you. The Director of the Story County Senior Citizen Center, there's Ms. Gilbert.
Good morning, Stacey Gilbert for the record. I just wanted to inform everybody this year we will be taking over the Veterans Day Spaghetti Feed. We're looking for monetary donations and volunteers if anybody's interested. And that's it.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Stacey. Over to Community Relations, Sherry Nevin.
Nothing today.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Director of Planning and Human Resources, Mr. Osborne.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Great. The Fire Department, Chief Nevin.
Nothing significant. Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Public Works Director, Jason. Where's Becky?
Micro summed it all up.
And the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Do you have? Special Counsel, Mr. Morris.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
County Manager, Mr. Whitten.
I hate to break this streak, but especially after I asked everybody to cut it short. I thank you all very much. I'll just rifle through this pretty quick. I've got reports from Denny, from Mike Nevin, and also mine. So I'll start first with Denny's. Denny's is pretty straightforward. I think this Thursday night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Piper's Offer House, the VCTC is having a community workshop. All are welcome to discuss the marketing and special events in which the VCTC does in conjunction with the town. There will be refreshments served. And I believe, I'm kind of looking at Erica for this, I think the survey results are posted online already. And we'd encourage anybody that wants to go, I'll be there. Denny will be there, of course. We encourage you to take a look at those survey results because that will be a key component as to what's discussed. I thought the survey that went out, multiple surveys that went out were done very, very well. Next off, kind of a save the date, December 7th. It's Remember Pearl Harbor Day, and it's also remember that that's the county's annual Christmas party. Don't have a start time. I think we usually start about 5 o'clock, as I recall, at Piper's. We're pretty well set, subject to maybe a change, but December 7th, the pipeline project. I want to talk just very briefly about that, I want to single out two people that have been a huge help, and that's our Comptroller, Hugh Gallagher, and our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Keith Loomis. I could not do this on my own. I think it's driven all of us to some level of craziness. It is alive. It is looking nothing like what it has looked like before, which I consider a good thing. We'll still hear from some that it's corporate welfare, but it's that's the way the incentive world works, is if you don't incent companies such as Google, you're probably not going to get as much growth as fast, pure and simple. That's today's corporate world, not the corporate world of the 80s or the 90s. I would tell you the good news is if it survives, which we had a very good conference call, I think, last Friday, I believe, it sounds like pretty much everybody's pulling in the same direction. But if it survives, we'd be looking at no special assessment district at all, which for us is refreshing because that dials out any liability that the county would have, period. It does still leave in a tax increment area. Essentially, all the players would prepay. They would pony up their portions of $35 million, respectively. Two of the players, for various and sundry reasons, are not asking for repayment through the tax increment area. The other five are. The amount that we would prepay, first off, the amount drops from $35 million plus interest, or a total of about $65 million, down to somewhere in the $28 million range. We're looking at about $28 million by the time the two prepayers are carved out. The two that don't want to participate or can't participate in the tax increment area. So you're looking at about $28 million. Which is much less of a payback than $65 million was. And we're still structured with a 50-50 partnership approximately, where 50% of that payback comes from state funds that we would never see anyway, and the other 50% comes from county funds. We think we can get out of the structure probably much sooner To me, again, subject to the fact that, yeah, we're giving up taxpayer dollars that I would advocate still we would not otherwise get. I think we're looking great. And there are active discussions with companies such as Google. I can't speak to those because I'm under non-disclosure, but I will tell you companies are very, very interested in getting started. To that end, we will have one or more special meetings. Right now, we are tentatively targeting October 29th for a special meeting. That's because procedurally, we need to get this done before the legislature changes and a number of others. So we're focused on a couple of special meetings, October 29th being the first one that we have tentatively scheduled. There undoubtedly will have to be one in, I believe, in November as well, but we haven't fine-tuned that date yet. You heard about the zip code. If anybody wants to see the official letter from the post office, I did put a small stack on the rail there. Dave Ballard and I are working with Keith on a lease. We've got some extra space out in our Peru McCarran complex, specifically my office and an office that really wasn't being used. NHP has, with Dave's help, has expressed interest in having a base out there. Right now they're in a trailer with no restroom. They have to use a porta potty in Silver Springs. And we think it's great for them to have a presence both in the park and on our property. We're entering into probably a $0 lease as long as Keith agrees, because they didn't have funding for this through the legislature this year. We hope to get him in there pretty soon. Then I'm going to give you Mike's report real quick. Of course, Mike is never quick, but he commented on the very nice ceremony that we had out at the Divide back on October 3rd with the ceremonial flush that I think everybody, including the congressional delegations and USDA, you know, anytime you can make the federal government laugh, I think you've done a good thing. And then we also had the pipeline kickoff, so that was great. And special thanks to the high school's choir for giving probably one of the best renditions of the national anthem I think I've ever heard, particularly school kids do. And then again to Chief Nevin and his gang for bringing out the aerial truck and proudly flying the American flag. The Ofer, like I've mentioned before, during Sherry's presentations, we're pretty much done with the sewer. That's why we called it substantial completion. We're now focused on the water pipeline. The Ofer Grade Road remains out of bounds and off limits, so we're asking everybody that are four-wheelers to stay out of the area. And if you're hunters, because we've got personnel out there, we've got several loads of pipe out there. We've got open trenches. They're just laying more and more pipe every day. We got 3,696 feet of lineal 12-inch pipe already installed, so that project's moving at great speed too. And then Mike added a special note, approximately 15 rattlesnakes have met their demise along the construction route this past week. So that's it from Mike, from Denny, and from me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thanks, Jeff. Pat. All right, and we'll move back. County Clerk, Stevens, nothing today? All right, that concludes committee and staff reports. And we'll move on now to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action of public comment. Jack, do you have any comments today?
No, I don't have any for today, thank you.
All righty, great. And neither do I. So that concludes item number 8. We're going to go ahead and we will move back to the... On to item number 21, which would be public comment. The public comment today? Going once, going twice, see you in 2 weeks?
About 3.
3 weeks.
Maybe even 4. November 9th, so we can canvass a vote. Jack, thank you very much for calling in.
Yeah.
Have a good day.